At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Jeannie F. from Rock Creek area.
Hi, I'm Jeannie. I'm an addict. And I'm incredibly nervous to be here. This is my first time speaking at a convention. And it's very freaky, so I just have to remind myself that this is no different than if I were just sharing at my home group or sharing at a meeting in my area with about a 20th of the amount of people in this room. I guess the best place to start, my clean date is October 20th, 2007, so I'm coming up on 5.5 years clean. I can't help myself. When I was a little kid, and I still am a huge Christmas person, so like the 25th of every month, I'm like, oh, it's only 2 months till Christmas, 9 months till Christmas. I still get excited the 20th of every month because it marks another 30 days in my journey of recovery. I mean, still, I come up on the 20th, and it's a good day for me. And I've never really lost that. You know, I don't have as many key tags. You don't get one every month still, but it's a nice reminder for me, and it always... It's a continuous reminder that every day, clean today, does mean just as much as the first day, as the 30th day, as everything. Because every day when I wake up, I still make the choice to not pick up or use today. I am not someone where the desire to use was ever completely lifted. There are some days I don't think about it, but there's still some days where using sounds like it would just be a way to make things easier. And to me, those days are the ones that are much more successful than the ones I don't think about using at all, because to me, being an addict and being in recovery isn't about never wanting to use again, but it's about still wanting to use and choosing to not do it. And that's why, to me, total abstinence is I told my family this is what I was speaking on here, and they were like, what do you really have to say for a half an hour about not using drugs, period? Like, you just don't. And for us, as we all know, it's a lot more than that. It is as simple as not picking up, but not picking up isn't that simple. For me, I think, you know, I got clean when I was 20 years old, so I got clean young compared to a lot of people that come in recovery, but still older than some people too. And I had no experience with recovery before the first time I really decided to get clean, so I didn't have a lot of preconceived notions about what recovery was supposed to be, why NA wouldn't work for me. I had no idea. I just knew that I was using constantly every single day and that I was miserable. And every day I woke up and I wished I hadn't, and I couldn't wait for the day to end. And I know that since the day that I entered NA and I decided to not use again, I've never felt that bad as I did when I was using. And it doesn't mean there haven't been really shitty days. It doesn't mean there's been some bad things that have happened to me in recovery. It doesn't mean I haven't done bad things to other people in recovery, but it just means that nothing is as bad as I made it for myself when I was using. When I came in, I thought that I wanted to piece together enough time to get my shit together, you know, to get my life back on track. I couldn't even fathom, being clean for the rest of my life. But I still can't. I can't think about it that way. And I think for all of us, that's why we do have to keep it a Just for Today program, because at 20 years old, the idea of never using for the next 60 years or longer really freaked the shit out of me. I couldn't even, like simple things like, I couldn't leave my house without being high. You know, how could I have a job? How could I interact with my family? How could I talk to the people that were supposed to be my friends if I wasn't high? I couldn't even sit alone by myself and not be high, you know? I mean, just being with my own brain was too much to do clean. The idea of living life clean, it didn't even seem to be an option. Before I came in here, I had done a lot of the testing of, well, maybe if I only use this, maybe if I only use on the weekends, maybe I'll only use on special occasions. And, I decided on a Tuesday to only use on special occasions. And, 4 hours later ended up being pretty damn special. So it just didn't, giving myself excuses to use didn't work. And I think as soon as I came in here, I had to change my mindset. Slowly, it didn't happen at first. Probably when I had about 3 months is when it really hit. Until that point, I thought that I was just going to stay clean for a little while and then go back to doing exactly what I was doing. That somehow I'd let everything get off track. Somehow I let it get out of hand, but I was really, deep down okay and didn't have a permanent problem. And after going to enough meetings, going to a meeting every day, talking to people, getting a sponsor, learning a little bit about the steps, it became very clear that I was and am someone that just, it's not an option for me. Maybe for some people it is, but to me, not picking up no matter what, not picking up anything, not having an excuse to use, that's what I need to stay clean. And that's what I need to be a part of the world. That's what I need to not die. That's what I need to be proud of myself and to be happy with the person I am when I wake up every day. And it really is that simple. It's been about building up a network of people around me and not being ashamed to say that I want to use when I do want to use. Being able to talk to my sponsor, and sometimes nothing makes me feel better than when my sponsor, who has almost twice as much clean time as I do, tells me that she wanted to use today. And it really brings me back. It really brings me back to remember that anybody, no matter how much time, can still want to use and can choose to not use. For me, it's also one of the reasons that Narcotics Anonymous is the fellowship that I choose to align my recovery with. NA keeps it really simple. You're an addict. You're addicted to, you can be addicted to everything, you know, the same way that I can be, you know, addicted to drugs, I can be addicted, you know, to food, to relationships, to whatever. So I can't play any games with myself about looking for a loophole about why it might be okay to use. Well, that, you know, if I was in another fellowship that aligned itself with just a particular drug, it might be easier for me to tell myself that it's okay if I use something else, or that I just have a problem with a particular substance, and that this isn't something that really is about deeply who I am and what I need to do to live my life differently. And since I've been a part of NA, that's what I've done. I have chosen, with the help of people around me, to look at my life as an addict living in the world, and how do I do that successfully, and how do I do that healthfully. I have been in situations, medical situations, where I've been prescribed narcotics. And both of those, I was lucky enough to not have to be able to take them once I left a hospital. But I know that there are people that do have to deal with that. My personal experience has been lucky enough that I haven't had to deal with that. But what I did do is be open and honest about the fact that I was given this prescription and I was choosing to not fill it, versus not telling anyone and being able to make a decision on my own, which any decision I make on my own is a bad one still. And, you know, whether it's at work, whether it's in personal life, whether it's in recovery, when I take the reins into my own hands and do what I want to do, it tends to not go very well. And being able to humble myself and talk to people that know more than I do, and being willing to admit that there are people that know more than I do, and knowing that they'll be able to help me, has been really one of the major things that's kept me clean and keeps me clean every single day. It's why I've only been to one convention since I've been clean, and I don't know why I waited so long to come back. Just having been here for a little bit now, it really is overwhelming when you see how many people there are that all do this together, that there's this many people that stay clean one day at a time, this many people that all lived lives where at one point I'm sure somebody had said, like, that person is never going to get their shit together. You know, that person is just, you know, I don't know. I don't know why they just can't get it. It's not that hard, because to other people that aren't in Narcotics Anonymous, not using drugs, not breaking the law every day is not that fucking hard. And they just don't get it. They just don't get why it's a miracle every single day that we're in here, every single day that we choose to not do something that is so easy for so many people to not do. And I think sometimes the longer that we're in recovery, the easier it is to see that fade. The easier it is to take for granted the fact that it is still a miracle every single day that we don't use, and it is still a complete miracle, because the drugs are still out there. They haven't gone anywhere. There are still people out there starting to get high every day for the first time. There are still people out there dying every day. And I know I've been given people in my life that just don't seem to get this, that this concept of not picking up no matter what has caused immense pain and suffering in their lives, in their relationships, and how they interact with the world. And I really have to go back to a place of gratitude. I really, really have to look at that and realize how closely this hits to home to so many people. That this isn't a disease that goes away, that every single day it's there, that every single day the only choice that I have for me is to be completely abstinent. And, you know, I protect my anonymity very closely. In the job that I work, it I don't work in a rehab facility or something like that where I could openly run around and say I'm an addict and talk about the 12 steps and everybody would just be okay with it. And I am in a lot of situations where there's a lot of social drinking and a lot of normal people that drink. And one thing I have to do is not judge people who I think. I'm like, you might seem to be successful, but you're a fucking mess. just because you're drinking in the evening and you're employed, but I have to step away from it because it's really not my business. I just have to, look at myself. But it does mean that I'm in situations where every now and then there is that voice in my head that says, would somebody know? If I just had one drink at a bar like a normal person, would anybody know? Would it really make a difference? And luckily, at this point in my recovery, that voice is drowned out really quickly with a lot more reason, because that's ridiculous, because I've never wanted to just have one drink in my entire life. Not since I was 12 years old and, really drank for the first time did I want to just have one drink. That's never sounded like a good idea. It still doesn't really sound like a good idea. If I'm going to drink, I want to get completely drunk, and then I want to run around and not sleep for 48 hours afterwards. Like, that's still what I want to do. So anytime that there's a voice in my head, the disease, I hate kind of talking about the disease like it is a real person, but sometimes it's the only way to do it. When there's a disease that tells me that my path might look different than that, I need to remind myself it's completely crazy and share about it so other people can tell me it's completely crazy, or go to a meeting and say it and hear everybody in the room start laughing, because we all know that that's not how it works for any of us, that there is no recovery light that works. There is no way to just do this a little bit, at least for me. For me, it is all or nothing. I have to do step work. Anytime I don't do step work, I start to go nuts. And then I finally pick up the book, I pick up the paper, I call my sponsor, I admit I haven't been doing any step work, and then I'm amazed at how much better I feel. I have to go to meetings. I travel a lot, so on those days I have to make sure that I talk to somebody in recovery every single day. Even if it's not a long conversation, even if it's just as simple as me leaving a message and checking in for someone, reminding myself that I am an addict, that I am in recovery, that I'm an active member of Narcotics Anonymous, and I need this to be a part of my life constantly. Sometimes, those things, the simple things that I was told to do when I first came in here, are really the only things that do keep me clean. Making sure that I connect in some way with my sponsor every single day. When I first came into recovery, that sounded crazy to me. I thought it was being dependent on someone. I didn't see why eventually we're supposed to be getting better, why I have to be that reliant on somebody in my life. And now I've really come to see that there's an immense freedom that comes with admitting that I need to have somebody like that in my life. It's the willingness, and that's what my sponsor always says to me, that when we come in here and people say, we don't know why some people say and some people don't, she says that, we all know. It's willingness. We don't know why some people have it and some people don't, but that's all it is. And if you are truly willing, you will stay clean one day at a time. You won't pick up, no matter what happens, whether it's a good day, whether it's a bad day, whether it's a normal day, you won't pick up if you're really willing not to. And for me, getting to the root of what might be a trigger, what might be something that I'm holding out for in the back of my mind, that, well, if this happened, a reservation, if this happened, then I might use, and that might be okay. Really getting those out in the open, that there's no reason to use. There really isn't. I haven't dealt with what I would consider to be the worst things that people have to deal with in recovery, losing a child, which to me sounds like, I don't have any kids, but to me that just sounds like the worst thing that could happen. And I know people in recovery that have had to deal with that, and they've stayed clean. I know for myself, I've dealt with illness, I've dealt with relationships, I've dealt with repairing, some crazy family shit like most people have, and I stayed clean through all of it. There is nothing that is so hard that using will make it better. And I think for me, as long as I remember that my willingness stays fresh. And as long as I continue to be willing, not just to stay clean, but to grow in my recovery, to expand in my recovery, To admit that I don't know everything, to realize there's always more to learn. I mean, there's new books written on NA constantly. We just got a new book. There's obviously more to learn for people that are book people. There's so much out there. And that, on the one hand, that it is as simple as just not picking up, there's a lot more to it than that. And for me, as an addict, it's okay that it's a little bit harder than it is for the rest of the world. And as long as I admit that and know that, I'm in the right place, and I'll keep coming back to NA. So.
Let's thank Jeannie for sharing one more time. And at this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker from Rock Creek, Peachy.
Hi, everybody. I'm an addict named Pete.
Hey, Pete.
And I wasn't nervous till I got up here either. I think it all has to do with the microphones and everything, because I'm not afraid to share in meetings when I'm in a meeting. I'm an addict, Pete. My clean date is December 4th, 1989. And if you would have told me December 5th, 1989, that I'd be in front of a bunch of people at a convention in Ocean City, Maryland, speaking about complete abstinence, I would have probably laughed in your face and told you were crazy. My experience is this. I started using when I was around 12 years old. My father was an addict. He used until it killed him. One day I got a call from someone, my brother, who said, "The old man's at home dead." And I drove home and we found him in his bed with a bunch of liquor bottles and wine bottles all around him. And our house had the heat. We didn't pay the bill, so the heat was turned off. It was the middle of winter time. It was freezing outside, and he was just there. And at that time in my life, seeing him dead where he was didn't bother me. I was just worried about how we were going to get him out of there. My whole life until I got clean was about learning how to not feel, to not care, to not be a sociably acceptable person. My whole life was about not really thinking I was going to live to be 25 or 30 years old. And the people I grew up with, you know, the people I hung out with had the same attitude. I was on my own when I was 16. And that's just the way the cards were dealt with me. And I was ready to just like do what I had to do in order to get high every day, and until I couldn't do it anymore. I didn't expect to get clean. I was 32 years old. I had been living on the streets of D.C. for about 3 years, and I had been walking around with hepatitis C, and I didn't have any more energy. I couldn't steal anymore. I couldn't do anything that I needed to do in order to continue the way I was going. I honestly believe if I still had money when I, if I had money coming in when I was at that age, I'd have still used them probably until it killed me, but I just didn't have no more access to anything. I couldn't do it anymore. I was beaten down, I was tired, and I just couldn't do it. And the funny thing about that is, I was walking around, and you know, I had nowhere to go, and it was like on a Sunday. It's always on a Sunday, and it's really cold, and the only thing I could do at that time that I hadn't done in a long time was ask whatever God or higher power was out there to help me, and things started changing for me. I actually got arrested doing something I shouldn't have been doing, and became a ward of a microphone. became a ward of the county, who sent me to a treatment center. And from that treatment center, is where I first met my first recovering addict. It was where a guy who worked there was a recovering addict, and he shared experience, strength, and hope, and I believed what he said, and I believed that he had been some of the places I had been, and I believed that what he was saying could probably work for me if I did what I was supposed to do. And when I was at that treatment center, a guy came in from the outside to bring a meeting in, and he pointed out to everybody in the room, and he said, if there's anybody in this room who doesn't want to get clean, you have nothing to worry about. You're not going to get clean. But if you do, there's some certain things that we have to be willing to do in order to stay here. And the number one thing was, don't use no matter what. And I couldn't comprehend that too well. Like, how do you live life without getting high on something? But I was willing to do whatever it took. And in that treatment center, I got to be sleep a lot and eat a lot. I didn't really comprehend what was going on. And then when I left there, I went into a transitional program where I lived for 3 months, and I had to go out and get a job and bring back the money. And they divvied the money out to me and packed me a lunch in the morning. And I had to come back, and I had to go to a meeting every day. And that's how my life was for 3 months I was there. The hardest thing about not using was when, as I started getting some clean time, 3-4 months clean, all these feelings of what I had done in my life and what kind of person I had become. I had a daughter. When she was born, I was in the parking lot getting high, and then I didn't see her again for a couple years. I didn't have any social skills anymore, you know, I had to learn everything I learned about life. I learned here. Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. And the way it saved my life is through the 12 steps. And the first step talks about being powerless our lives becoming unmanageable. It was very obvious to me that I was powerless over my addiction. I learned it was an addiction. I believed it was a disease because I ran in my family. So I accepted the fact that I was an addict and I needed help. I continued to go to a meeting every day for 5 years. And I worked the steps with a sponsor for those times, and I learned about myself. But it all came back to, don't use no matter what. And I didn't understand. I remember one time I had a sponsor who told me I wanted to go find this girl. And he told me, Pete, I'm not worried about if you find her. I'm not worried about you using if you find her. I'm more worried about her getting clean, because you'll probably both take off and go out and end up using again. I said, but I don't want to use. I don't want to get high anymore. I'm afraid it's going to kill me. And then he said, well, then you won't. And I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. What do you mean, no, then I won't? I couldn't comprehend what he meant by that. Because my whole life I used, whether I wanted to or not, I had to use. After about a few years, I lost the desire to use. I was told that if I stayed around long enough, worked the steps, had a sponsor, helped somebody with no strings attached, don't pick up no matter what, there would come a time in my life where I would wake up and not think about using for a few hours, sometimes a full day. I didn't believe that could happen for me. I didn't think I could stay clean. I thought I was one of these people who were going to stay around for a little while and then go back out and use, because I wasn't capable of living life on life's terms. But there did come a time when I had a day, a few hours, that I didn't think about using. I did not wake up this morning thinking about where I was going to go get money to go cop. I haven't thought about that for a long time. But I did think about somebody who I was talking to a couple months ago who had 30 days clean. And he said, Pete, you have 23 years clean? I said, yeah. He goes, man, well, I don't even know why you come around anymore, or something along those lines. And I asked him, if you go out and use right now, what's going to happen to you? He goes, man, I'm gonna go do whatever I gotta do to get high. I'll probably end up in jail. I said, yeah, me too. See, that shit doesn't change. I don't care whether you have 23 days or 23 years. If I go back out and get high, my ass is gonna go right back to where I was, doing the same shit I was doing, ending up in the same place that I ended up. And I'm 55 years old. I don't have the energy to be chasing around all these young guys out here anymore. I probably end up getting shot. And I'm not trying to do all that. You know, I am not the same person I was when I walked in here. I walked in here socially unacceptable. I live in a neighborhood now that if they would have saw me walk down the street in this neighborhood, they would have called the police and said, there's somebody in the neighborhood who shouldn't be here. And now I live in that neighborhood. I started a business. I'm pretty successful in my business. I have lots of friends now. I'm talking about friends, not people I used to hang out on the street with. The people I hung out on the street with that I called my friends that were supposed to be willing to watch my back, you know, are dead or in prison. And I was one of those guys who were told to tell you, I'd watch your back. And as soon as you turn your back, if you had something there that I wanted, I'd steal it from you. I remember there was a guy we were in this house. I called him my friend. He OD'd. There was guys trying to bring him back. And while they were trying to bring him back, I was in his pocket taking his money and his couple bags of dope he had left. And that's the kind of guy I was. And I learned that I wanted to be, you know, I always wanted to be around people who cared about each other. But I just went the wrong direction. I hung out with a bunch of knuckleheads, and I learned, you know, the hard way that that's not what friends are about. I've learned what friends are now, you know. It's being there when you're called. It's about being honest and showing up for commitments. And, you know, all this stuff that I do today that I learned here. I consider myself one of these guys that, it's just the truth that I didn't know nothing about living life on life's terms when I came here. I had no skills like that. I didn't have parents that tried to show me the right way. I had parents that, you know, my mother tried the best she could. My father was a fucking bum and a violent man. My mother died when I was like 16, and my father died when I was 17, and I just went wild. And so, you know, if you're new in here, this is my experience is this. Go to a meeting, raise your hand, let somebody know what's going on with you. The hardest thing I ever did in my life was go into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, raise my hand, and ask for help. I did not want to do it. I didn't want to hug people. I didn't want to share in meetings. I didn't want to read readings. I didn't want anybody to notice me. I'd sit in the back of the room. As soon as the meeting was over, I'd split. But then when I was willing and I got a sponsor, I told him, look, I don't want to hug these people in here. I don't know them. I don't hug. I've never been hugged, really, and I'm not interested in that. He said, Pete, this is what we do here. And if you want to stay clean, this is what we do here. So he told me I had to hug people at five people at every meeting I went to. And I was going to 7 to 10 meetings a week because I was afraid not to. And I'd go up to people and I'd say, look, my sponsor told me I have 5 people in here, so let's go ahead and do this, give me a hug, and let me get the fuck out of here. And that's the truth, you know? And I was around people I stuck around people who were about being clean. There's everybody that comes into the room aren't about getting clean. I hung around people that work. And we've gotten cars together. We went to meetings together. Some of those people I still know. 23 years later, we got clean together. I knew about 20 people, you know. We all got clean together. There's probably 5 or 6 of us that are still around, maybe a little more, that, you know, we're best friends. I mean, it's like unbelievable. And if you're new, you may not be able to. I couldn't comprehend this shit, right? Losing the desire to use. Don't use no matter what. I couldn't even think about that. I just had to keep taking one foot in front of the other, hanging out with people who were positive about being clean and being in recovery and wanted their lives to change, and all kinds of crazy stuff started happening. Good stuff, you know? I'm not unique. Look, I'm not unique. None of us are unique. All we have to do is do what we're told, work the steps to the best of our ability, share and be honest, help somebody with no strings attached, and keep coming back no matter what. And another area I was going to touch on, when I woke up this morning, I took some vitamins, and I had some oatmeal, and I took a Wellbutrin, because I also have, I suffer from depression, right? I don't consider it really bad, but it keeps me from not being happy. And there used to be, in Narcotics Anonymous meetings I used to go to, if you were on an antidepressant, then you weren't clean. I'm here to tell you that's bullshit. If I wasn't on this Wellbutrin, I'd be making a lot of people unhappy, because I tried it. 15 years clean, I came off of it. It lasted about 6 months, and it wasn't a good area of my life at that time. If you're new, my message to you is keep coming back. This is the best thing going. Go to a meeting tonight, share with somebody that you trust, and you have no idea where this program will take you. If I could pull my recovery out and hand it to some of the new people that I know and say, here, take it, I would do it right now, but that's not the way it works. We got to work for it. So I'm done. Thank you very much.
Okay. Let's thank the speakers one more time. Because we have some time left remaining at the end of this workshop, we would like to open the meeting to those who would like to share. Please remember to come to the podium one at a time, and remember to share the time. Anyone? Bueller? No? Okay, we'd like to close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God. Thank you.